Nama 181. Repeat after me. Maheshwasaha.
Maheshwasaha.
Mahan Ishwasaha.
Mahan Ishwasaha.
Ishukshepaha.
Ishukshepaha.
Yasyasaha.
Yasyasaha.
Maheshwasaha.
Maheshwasaha.
Okay, so now Ishwasa can be an arrow, a bow, or can be the capacity to strike with an arrow, strike anything with an arrow. So if you say Mahan, the one who has a great bow, so you see that Yasya, for whom there is a Mahan Ishwasaha, a great bow. Or it can mean Ishushepaha, means the one for whom the arrow strikes, right? So the one for the person that their arrow will always hit its mark. That's the Ishukshepaha, Yesya. One who is an Ishukshepaha, one for whom, it's a Bahuvrahi, one for whom the Ishu, the arrow, Kshepa, strikes. And Swamiji says here, where he says, Ishwasa can mean both, so it means both, can mean the capacity to shoot arrows or the bow from which the arrow is shot. Okay, the one who has Mahan Ishwasa, a great bow, so it means a great bow, or one who has a distinguished capacity in archery. And that's what he means here by the Ishukshepa. And he gives an example. This is the Lord as Sri Rama. Sri Rama was an archer, and with just one arrow, he could put a hole through seven trees. In fact, Sri Rama is praised as one who never needs more than one arrow to hit the target. So the nama is with reference to the lila of the Lord. So you take it either bow, Mahani Shwasaha, Yesya, Bahuvrahi, the one who has a great bow, or the one whose arrows strike. Mm. Means he's a great archer.
What's the lila of the Lord? What does that
mean? Play of the Lord. I don't have much to say about that.
Okay. That's all right.
Okay. 182. Everybody okay with that? Mm-hmm. Maheshwasaha. If you see with the Mahan Ishwasaha, what he did was break the compound. Because the root is really Mahat, and the nominative singular is Mahan Ishwasaha. But in the compound, it takes Mahat and Ishwasaha. Okay? That's why that's Mahan is there. Let's go to 182. Mahibharta.
Mahibharata.
Ekarnava. Aplutam.
Aplutam.
Devim.
Devim.
Mahim.
Mahim.
Babhara.
Babhara.
Iti.
Iti.
Mahibharata.
Mahibharata.
So, it literally means Mahi is the name for the earth. So, Mahibharata, the one who sustains, holds up, supports the earth. The supporter of the earth. So, Bharata is from Bhartra, means, and it comes from, you know, to sustain, to hold. So, Bhartra is the one who sustains, who holds, supports Mahi, the earth. So, that also that, you know, the Ura affect shows agentship. So, if I had, for instance, the root Kriya to do, Karta, one who does, a doer. Like gum to go, gantra, one who goes, a goer, that ER affix, right? One who thinks, a thinker. So here, that's why Swamiji says supporter, because of the bartra. Bartra ending is an agent noun. So the bartha is the nominative singular of that agent noun. So mahi bartha. Then he gives an example, he tells why. Arnava is the ocean. A karnava means at this time there's only the ocean. Like everything is submerged under the ocean. So there's just only a karnava, so there's only ocean there. And aplutam is in the feminine accusative singular. The one who is totally submerged or bathed or overrun by the ocean. Right? So the one who is aplutam, one who is because the ocean has covered, it's called it like a pralaya. We'll look at what Swamiji says here. It's a semi-pralaya. where the oceans have covered all the whole earth. And so the earth now gets submerged underneath the ocean. And so Bhagavan has to go and pull her up and support her so that she can rise out of this ocean. So here it says, E karnava aplutam devim mahim. The earth, the goddess of the earth, devim, the devi, who is mahim, the earth devi, who is underneath, who is submerged or totally overrun or overwhelmed, wetted by the ocean, which is the only thing that's there. Because the earth is gone now, it's underneath. E karnava aplutam, aplutam devim mahim, accusative singular feminine, Babada. He supports Babada. He supported the earth, the devi, the earth, which had, when she had gone completely under the water, you know, he supported her, and so has been called Mahi Bharata. And so let's just look at what Swamiji says here, because it's actually the Varaha avatar. It's the third avatar, the avatar of the boar. The boar goes, and with his horns, he holds the earth in his horns and pushes her back up above the ocean. So he says, at the time of Pralaya, the cosmic dissolution, there will be water everywhere. When everything goes into the unmanifest condition during Pralaya, how can there be water? So this is only a relative Pralaya. There's different types of Pralaya. There's when the whole universe goes into complete unmanifest condition. But there's times when there's partial pralayas also. So that's all when you read the Puranas and things. They'll go into detail about what all of those are, how long each lasts, and when they come. And there's the Maha Pralaya. Anyway, it's complicated. So this is only a relative pralaya. Then Sri Krishna is depicted as a baby sucking his toe and lying on a banyan leaf floating on the vast expanse of water. Okay. As Varaha, very nice.
Yeah.
As Varaha avatara, he plunges into the water and brings up the Mahi, the earth, for the creation to start again. Or he is the one who always supports the earth. You can look at it as Brahman, he always is the support, the Adhishtana, of the earth and of the whole creation. Or if you go into the mythology as Varaha, as the avatar, he goes and in that semi-pralaya, he goes and he picks the earth and pushes her up and holds her up. So.
And what's the complete
the pralaya, there's different names, I can't remember it all.
No, but I mean, from the standpoint of Vedanta, what would it be complete?
The whole creation goes into unmanifest condition. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Into the karma, yeah, causal condition. So there is no water. There's nothing. Yeah. It's not just a wipe out of the whole, all the beings and the earth itself.
This is so beautiful. This really truly brings more of Ishwara and less of me.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That's why this
it's
is
so rich.
It's considered such a punya to chant this and to actually chant it and know what it means to study this. Because you just keep getting immersed in Ishwara.
Yeah.
You know? Plus all of the myths, all of the stories, all of the richness of it. It's beautiful. Okay for everybody?
Yeah.
183.
Srinivasaha.
That's a common name, Srinivasa.
Yeah. Yes.
Srinivasaha. Then, Yesya Vakshasi.
Yesya Vakshasi.
Anapayini.
Anapayini.
Shrir Vasati.
Srinivasati.
Saha.
Saha.
Srinivasaha. Yasya means Vakshasi, on whose chest. Yasya is whose. Vakshas is chest. On whose chest? Anapayini Shrihi. Anapayini means the never leaving, constantly, never leaving, never going away. Who's never going away? Because this is in feminine, the E ending, nominative singular. Anapayini, Shrihi. Shrihi is all wealth, but it's also Shri is Maya. Maya Vasati. Maya dwells. Shri dwells there. Anapayini, never moving, never leaving. on whose chest Maya dwells without ever leaving. He is Srinivasaha. Right? So Nivasaha means to dwell, the dwelling place. He is the dwelling place of Sri, Srinivasaha. Right? So Yasya Vakshas, Vakshasi Lokanam, on whose chest Sri lives, Sri dwells, without ever leaving, not going. So beautiful. And so Swamiji says, the goddess of wealth, Sri, always dwells on his chest without ever leaving him. Sri is Maya Shakti. Maya Shakti is all wealth because the Maya Shakti contains everything that exists within the creation. So Sri is Maya Shakti, the power of Maya, the Maya Shakti. He is Nivasa, the abode of the blessing, the abode of the blessing Shakti of Maya. Swamiji means the Shakti of Maya's blesses. That is Sri, and hence he is Sri Nivasa. Lakshmi is always with the Lord.
So the Vakshasi, why does he bring in the chest? It's
just an image. It's just an image. Yeah, yeah, that's all. Heart, you know?
Mm-hmm.
His being is... But what it's an image, but you're really saying he's never away from...
Yeah.
She's, you know, Lakshmi is never away from his being.
But in English, it's interesting.
Who
the
his,
chest.
Yeah.
Who does his refer to?
It's just in English, his chest, the chest of Vishnu, of Brahman, you can say. In the end, Vishnu is only Brahman.
But it's interesting we say chest of gold, but also the heart is in the chest.
The heart is in the chest, yeah.
No, treasure.
Treasure.
Great treasure.
But here, Vakshas means physically the chest. Vakshas, that's what the word means. Is that clear for everybody?
Mm-hmm.
I always are saying these things in images and
I like that.
I do too.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Jackie.
Then, Satam Gatihi.
Satam Gatihi.
Satam Vaidika
Nam.
Sadhu Nam.
Sadhu Nam.
Purushartha.
Purushartha.
Sadhana Hetuhu.
Satam gatihi.
So Swamiji says, for Satam is in the genitive plural, and it can mean good people.
Mm.
Yes, Satpurusha is a good person.
Mm.
So gatihi, now we'll see, gati has two different meanings. Gati can mean the destination. So here he just translates it like that, the destination of the good people.
Mm.
Satam gatihi. The destination of all the good people. But we'll see the different meaning in a minute. So if he says, Satam, well, who are the good people? Vaidikanam, those who are contained within the Vaidika Dharma. Yeah? Sadhunam. Sadhunam, sadhu is just Satam. The good people are the sadhus. Not necessarily sadhu as the sannyasi, but those people who are good. So of the sadhus, Vaidikanam, those who are contained within the Vaidika Dharma, then what? Purushartha sadhana hetuhu. The cause, the hetu is the cause for the sadhana, for the purushartha sadhanas. The purushartha sadhanas, the means, sadhana means mean. So it's the sadhana and the hetu. Okay? The sadhana and hetu here is like destination. The purusharthas are four.
Mm-hmm.
So the first three purusharthas, right, are kama.
Mm.
Kama means your desires. You have a desire. What are your goals? I want this, and I want this, and I want this. So the kamas, the things that will make me happy, the things that I'll enjoy are the kamas. The arthas are the things I need. So often when you give the list, you say artha first. Because I don't have any room for calm or enjoyment if I can't meet my basic needs. So the arthas are, you know, having enough money in the bank, having enough food to eat, having a good home, having things that you need to kind of survive as a human. So those basic necessities that human beings need are called the arthas. So that's a purusharta. Let me take care of my family and my needs and my security. Okay, so the artha. Kama, then after having done that, let me have my enjoyments, the things that will make me, that I will enjoy, that will make me happy. So artha kama. Then dharma. Artha kama are considered in shortest for all humans. Dharma is religious, because dharma really has the sense of let me have a better next birth, which means let me work and do what is necessary to have a better next birth, means punya papa. It means following dharma. Let me avoid papa karmas, and let me do dharma and accrue punya karmas, so that my next birth will be better, that I'll be improving and not having taking a painful birth. So dharma means that you believe in a next birth. You even to believe in punya and papa, the dharma as the results of dharma that bring about the next birth, you have to have some sort of a religious perspective, not just a materialist. This is the only reality. So once dharma comes in, you know that religion comes in. And then moksha, liberation. Okay. So now the gati can either, the Lord can be either the gati for the mumukshu. The gati means what? My destination. What is my destination? My destination is Bhagawan. Through knowledge, let me gain Ishwar. So then the gati itself is the very destination. Or Vishnu can be looked at the gati, where I want to go. I want to be with the Lord. Through knowledge, it's a metaphor for not gaining knowledge. I want to be with Bhagawan as the gati, as the destination. Or I want Bhagawan to give me the gati, the means, to be the means, where the gati is the means for getting there. So Bhagawan himself is the means for getting, fulfilling my purusharthas. Mm-hmm. Or with a moksha purusharta, Bhagawan is the end itself. You see what I mean? So I can, as an arti or artarti, as an arti, I pray to Bhagawan when I'm in trouble. If Bhagawan save me, please save me, get me out of this. So I'm asking Bhagawan to be the means to step in and get me out of the situation. Or as an artarthi, I will pray to Bhagawan to fill a desire, to bless me to fulfill a desire. Again, he becomes the means. For the jignasu and also for the jnani, you know, Bhagawan becomes the gati. Bhagawan is what I want. I don't want him to fulfill anything for me. I want him to take me, to be me. So that's why. So let's look at what Swamiji says. So if you say the destination of all good people, we're talking about the mumukshu and the jignasu. Otherwise he becomes the means. In the end, he's the destination. But until you reach that end as a mumukshu, he becomes the one who will help you. Okay? So let's just look at this, what Swamiji says. It's nice. I want to explain these first couple of lines here too. But first, in Sanskrit, a noun can be, all the nouns are derived from a verbal root. Okay? And that noun, because it comes from a verbal root, it can be, the meaning of the noun can be formed in different ways by how you deal with the verbal root. So for instance, the noun gati comes from gum, to go. So now he says, there's one way of breaking this root gati that comes from the root gam to go. Gamyate, it is reached anaya, by that, by him. It is reached by him, iti gatihi. This means by which one reaches, or you could say like this, it is reached, I was thinking of Bhagawan, but you can say just literally, it is reached by that. Like the gati could be the vehicle by which you get to town. Mm-hmm. Often a horse, so the gati can be the vehicle by which you get to town, or it could be the talent. Mm-hmm. Either way. So here you say, if you break it, gamyate in the passive, mm-hmm. anaya, it is reached by that. Iti gati, thus gati, thus it is called gati, right? So the means by which one reaches the destination, that is, the road, is called gati. Here I say road, but it can also be the cart. Then gamyate iti gamyate iti gatihi. It is reached iti gamyate. So the thing that is reached, it is reached by that. That becomes the gati, or the thing, or it is reached, the thing which is reached. So the destination that is reached, achieved, is also called gati. The means and the end are both called gati. Why I'm spending a little time about this is because Swamiji, and when we're doing breaking verses and doing breaking the meaning of the words, the etymology of the words, he will be saying this all the time. Sometimes he'll put it in the tritiya in the third case, you know, like it is the thing by which it is reached, or sometimes it'll be, you know, the thing itself that is reached, and so you'll also always be hearing these various Sanskrit breakdowns of the word, you know, and the verb will be changing. Okay? So
how do you know that which meaning to take?
Well, in the bhashas and in the verses, there can be more than one interpretation of a verse, as long as both interpretations are true. You know, in Jung and dream analysis, so there's many ways of correctly interpreting a dream, but all of them have to ring true. In the Shastra, a verse can be interpreted in one, two, or even three ways, and either all of them are valid, or he'll do all three possible interpretations and negate one or two of them, because even though it could be that, within the context of the Vedanta or the context of the verses, it can't mean that. So all of that will come out in the commentary. So this is something. Next paragraph. The end, the destination, is always for somebody who is seeking. Those who are satpurushas, who follow the dharmas prescribed, that's the vadipanam. Those who follow the dharmas prescribed by the Vedas see the Lord as the gati, the means for attaining the purusharta they want to gain. That's the first meaning, right? Be it artha or kama or dharma, and he becomes their gati by blessing them. But in the course of time, they come to understand that any end that is sought after is Ishwara, in the end. Right? And therefore, the real gati, the end, is Ishwara. But as the seeker is not separate from Ishwara, there is really no end, and hence no means is necessary. There is no end because all that is here is only Ishwara. Beautiful, and then he starts talks about this remark. And
the
seeker and the sod are the same. Next week we'll do Aniruddha. Let's take a minute.
Swastipajakaparikamayantam Nyayena Mayena Mahim Mahishaha Go Brahmane Vyashivamasinityam Loka Samastha Sukhino Bhavantu Kale Varshati Parjanyaha Pratibhe Sasya Shalini Desho Yam Shobarahitaha Brahmana santu nirbhayaha Om sarve bhavanti sukhinaha Sarve santu nirabhayaha Sarve bhadrani pashyantu Ma kaschit dukha bhag bhavet Asato ma sabgamaya Tamaso ma jyotirgamaya Mrityorma amritam gamaya Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamadashyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.